We want to start off this morning, though, with the Amazon. And as you know, one of the ideas that the farmers are coming up with to put their opposition into beef from places like Brazil is that in order to supply the beef, Brazil has to cut down all these trees, and they're losing a football pitch every hour, it seems. But there's been a surge in wildfires in the Amazon as well since Brazil's new president took over in January. Experts fear rainforest is being deliberately burned after the right-wing leader said the region should be developed. Let's talk to Andrew St. Ledger, PRO from the Woodland League here in Ireland, and Deputy Director at Friends of the Earth, Kate Ruddock. It'll be on the line as well. Andrew, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me on.
Not at all. The importance of the Amazon is what?
It's unbelievably important, and this is a serious catastrophe, not just for the Amazon, but for the world. It's, you know, one of the last largest areas of rainforest left in the world. There's 16,000 different species of tree in that area. It's an unbelievably rich for biodiversity. The rainforests of the world, which only occupy 3% of the planet, have 60% of the world's wildlife. And also people, there's indigenous people in this area, being burnt out of their homes. This is, you know, crazy, psychopathic behavior by the Brazilian government. There's been an 85% increase in these forest fires since Bolsonaro was elected. This is insane. You know, this is basically an attack on the last remaining life support systems for this planet. And they control, still have a huge influence on our climate, one of the largest carbon sinks in the world. They reckon 50% of the world's carbon is locked up in that 3% of rainforest. So it's absolutely crazy that this is going on. And our government should be making, you know, huge protests to the Brazilian government. And this deal, the Mercosur deal, with an idea to bring in import products from this devastated region, should be stopped immediately.
Okay, let's bring in Kate Ruddock from Friends of the Earth. Kate, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Presumably you agree with what Andrew is saying there, but, you know, people like to have control a certain amount in their own country, like make special cases seemingly in climate change. We can't get rid of our beef because we export 90%, and we've got all sort of mitigating factors, we're told. Other places like to have developed their second runways or big runways because they can't do without it, because they need all the flights. People want to hold on to their big cars because there's no alternative. So there's special cases so much. So why shouldn't Brazil have some sort of an industry going that includes destroying, I suppose, part of the Amazon? It's theirs to do that.
Yeah, a lot of governments, and Ireland included, are pleading special cases to try and give excuses for why they're not taking the significant action to prevent the climate breakdown that's happening across the world. So it's a huge challenge. The climate is actually breaking down. We're seeing it happening more and more over the last number of years. It's becoming more and more critical, and all nations of the world have to start to seriously take this, to seriously take action very, very quickly. So the Paris Agreement, which was agreed in 2015, was an international agreement, a global agreement for nations to take action to reduce global warming so that it doesn't breach these critical levels where we know that ecosystems and civilization will no longer be compatible, essentially, with life on Earth. I know that sounds terrifying, but that is actually where the science is currently. In Brazil, the scale of the wildfires this year are enormous. Wildfires are a normal part of lots of ecosystems around the world, but in Brazil, they are totally unnatural this year. And it's really because of two things. As Andrew pointed out, it's the policies of the right-wing president, Mr. Bolsonaro, who was elected in January, and he's essentially rolled back on lots of environmental protections that were put in place over the last 20 years to protect the Amazon. And he kind of ran on a platform of opening up the Amazon for mining and for farming. And that is what we are seeing is happening at the moment. That's one of the significant challenges. And the Amazon in July, it actually was losing as much rainfall as a rainforest as 3 football fields a minute. So your statistic at the beginning to compare to football fields is relevant, but your scale was completely off. So 3 football fields a minute are being lost in the Amazon. And we haven't heard those sorts of statistics about the Amazon for 20 years because there were protections in place to prevent that deforestation that was happening in the early 2000s, and they're essentially being rolled back now. But in addition to that, July of this year was the warmest month ever on record, and it follows a pattern of warming months and warming years over the last number of years. So we know that the world is heating up, and that is having significant impact. So the wildfires in the Amazon are now worse because of this increasing global temperatures. And in Ireland, as you rightly pointed out, we farm a lot of beef and we have a significant agricultural sector. The argument is often made by Irish farmers that we produce beef more efficiently here and we should therefore do more of that, because otherwise it might be that we'd be getting our beef from the Amazon, or other parts of the world would be getting beef from the Amazon. That's unfortunately the science doesn't support that argument, because essentially the world doesn't really care where the emissions are coming from. If they're coming from Ireland, they're still going out into the world. If they're coming from Brazil, they're still going out into the world. So the Irish policy at the moment of increasing beef and dairy and increasing our emissions in line with that doesn't really marry with global ambition to reduce emissions across the world. And as we continue to increase our beef and dairy emissions and we continue to market to export markets in China and India, convincing people that hamburgers and milkshakes are the way forward, and you know, generating that demand for it, we're generating the demand globally. And what we really need to be doing is to try and decline and decrease the amount of beef and dairy that is consumed globally. And that's really where we need to go, and Ireland has a significant role to play in that.
Andrew, how could we convince Japan otherwise, or sorry, Brazil otherwise, there's things like places like Saudi Arabia and Russia and all that who've poo-pooed the Paris Agreement, you know?
Yeah, just to say as well, coming back to, I don't think people are fully understanding the scale of what's going on right now in Brazil, that the city of Sao Paulo with 20 million people went into darkness the other day from the fires, the smoke, 1,700 miles away. This is man-made. This isn't just wildfire, you know, wildfires. These are deliberately started fires on a scale that no one has seen before. There are people, you know, suffering serious health problems, respiratory problems, etc., in the city of Sao Paulo. I have a scientist friend over there emailed me, you know, seriously concerned with what's going on. They've not seen the like of it. So, you know, it's regarding trade, etc. It's a public awareness issue. Yes, the public need to be looking at their consumption patterns and to be, again, cutting down on the products which are impacting on the remaining parts of our wilderness, our wildlife, our biodiversity.
How do you convince, though? The question is, how do you convince Brazil to do differently? I mean, they have pesticide over there for bees, and they've lost 500 million in the last 3 months. So how do you get them to realize what's going on here?
Well, they had it before Bolsonaro, as Kate pointed out. There had been some really excellent initiatives started by government in the last 4 to 5 years. There were conservation efforts. The reduction in deforestation in the Amazon had begun. There's also another very important area called the Atlantic rainforest, which they introduced a federal law to protect. That was also being restored. There was international funding going into Brazil to encourage these initiatives. That funding now is under threat, rightly so, and that's the only way, I suppose, is to put pressure on Brazil's economy. It's, you know, is to actually stop them doing what they're doing. There should be sanctions, major sanctions put on them.
Kate, there will be up and coming talks in Chile. When do you think that the emergency, as you have outlined, will be actually, you know, the world policy? So anybody who contravenes, there will be difficulties for them. And then at the other side of that, there will be positive encouragement in order that countries actually toe the line.
Well, we have the Paris Agreement from 2015, which is an agreement for international cooperation to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The EU is taking a fair, not strong enough, in the eyes of some people, but is globally a fairly strong position on reducing emissions from the EU, and that is starting to become contributory in terms of trade deals. So that'll be up for question in the coming months and years. But I do think this is a scale that is global. It's huge. We're only really on a global scale starting to wake up to it, and we do have to start to take action very, very soon. We have to do it ourselves. We have to do it on a national basis, and we have to influence others to do it on a global basis. And we all have a role to play in this. Developing countries have responsibility, a moral responsibility, as the contributors to most of the pollution that's gone out into the atmosphere over the last 100 years. To make significant reductions in our emissions, we have to do that first, and we have to do it fast. And we really have very little time in order to turn this around, so that we can actually look to the future and look to the next 20 and 30 years and see a world that is compatible with human life. It's a serious challenge, it's a significant challenge, and everybody has a role to play.
And other countries too, Andrew?
What do you mean, other countries?
I mean,
what role do they have to play?
The other countries that are not exactly fully, or else they are anti the Paris Agreement.
Again, it's hopefully that their citizens, through public awareness, that ultimately the consumer and the person in the street will put pressure on those governments and wake up to what needs to happen.
Yeah, they always fear it damages their pockets. They always fear it damages their pockets. So they say, well, not for the moment, you know, and I might do it later on, but I want everything to stay the same.
Yeah, well, we can't wait for leaving everything the same. As, again, we see more and more, you know, serious weather disruption. We're dependent on our environment, not just money. You know, we depend on our environments more than we depend on money. So if our environment is destroyed, your money is no good to you. Mm. We got to, you know, wake up.
Right. One last thing to you, Kate. The UN say you'd be 10 billion people on the planet in 2050. A report from Melbourne yesterday said there won't be anybody on the planet in 2050 the way we're going. So where do you fall into line with all that?
I'm sorry, I didn't actually see that report from the UN, so I don't have the detail on it.
Well, the Melbourne one where it says that life would be incompatible in 2050.
If we continue with business as usual, if we continue growing emissions across all of the nations of the world, if we continue with where we are, which is increased growth and no reduction in emissions and no additional protection to our natural environment and ecosystems, we have a very, very dire future in front of us in a very short time. If the planet warms, we're about 1 degree of warming. We know that when we get to about 1.5 degrees, we start to see these tipping points where mass extinctions will happen. Widespread drought and flooding and more extreme storms will start to happen, which will threaten our ability to grow food and to live in coastal communities and to live in large parts of the earth. That will happen if we continue to get if the world continues to warm up. If we continue with business as usual, we're projected to get to about 4 degrees. Of warming by the end of the century, and that, as the World Bank has pointed out and many, many others, is incompatible with human life as we currently know it. So it is not it's not to be scary, but it is actually terrifying, and we need significant action across all governments, all politics, and all people to really take action to reverse this trend.
Thank you both this morning. Andrew St. Ledger, PRO from the Woodland League, and Deputy Director of Friends of the Earth, Kate Ruddock, about that activity in the Amazon. The new president there seems to just be going ahead and doing what he does anyway, and he got elected on that platform, of course.